Revelation chapter number 3, look at verse number 7. Those of you that were with me last week when we went to Victory, we're going to read the same portion of Scripture, preach a different message. But I've been enamored with this, kind of taken with this idea. And the Lord just kind of won't let it go with me, so I'm going to preach, try to preach it out of me. All right? And I'm hoping that when I'm trying to preach it out of me, all I do is just preach it deeper into me. Let's all stay in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 7. Revelation 3:7 is a letter that Jesus wrote to the pastor there in the church, a local New Testament church in a town called Philadelphia, and it's not Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. Revelation 3:7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. For him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are the God that can open a door and no man can shut it, and can shut a door and no man can open it. Help us to understand a little bit about the doors that I believe are being set before the church and the churches of America today. Oh God, help us not to ignore an open door. Help us not to miss an open door. Help us not to get to heaven one day and have you say, what did I have to do? Send you a real letter? Couldn't you see it? Couldn't you see what I opened up for you to do? Did you miss the opportunity? Why weren't you paying attention? I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to understand and to be able to recognize and identify when doors are being opened and when they're being opened by you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take maybe the first few minutes. And by the way, let me mention this. We have a new book that we're making available for this month that I think you're just going to love. The name of the book is Embracing the Untouchables, and it's written on the life of missionary Tommy Tillman, who has for years been a missionary to Thailand to the lepers and to the leper colonies. An amazing man, amazing ministry. And Brother Greg, do you know where those books are? Okay, it's in the box at the very top there, okay? And we'll have those available at the back. We charge you what we pay for them. We paid $10. I love Brother Tillman. He said, Brother Jerry, it cost $10. And he said, $3.50 goes to the publisher, and $3 goes to the author because someone else wrote the book. And he said, the rest of the money just goes into our ministry. He said, I'd never take any money to tell somebody how wonderful God's been in my life. Brother Tillman. But you'll enjoy that book. It's well worth the money invested. And that's the book of the month. We'd like you to purchase and read it. Would you make sure also that Brother Koblitz and his wife get a copy of that book? I think you'll enjoy that, brother. That'll be a gift from our church. Let me just quickly educate you about the flags. I wish I could stand up here and do it by memory, but I'm not going to be able to, so I'm going to move around. If you later on can't remember what flag is which, if you'll go to any of the flags in the bottom left-hand corner, if you'll just turn the corner up, there's a little piece of paper that's been pinned down there that'll tell you not only what country that flag's from, but the missionary, name of the missionary that is in that country. And so we put these out here so we could look and see. By the way, we're missing one that didn't come in with the order that we've reordered. I'll go ahead and mention that. In the country of Belize, which is down in South America, that the Leonards are going to. We didn't receive that one. And I either goofed up and didn't order it, or they goofed up and didn't send it. Who knows? But all we know is something's goofed up. And we'll get that flag and we'll get it hung as soon as we can. All right. This flag here is the flag of Ghana, in West Africa. And this, of course, is where Dave and Lacey Peach is. This is the flag of Mexico, if I remember right. We support Mike and Lydia Lima and also Don and Carolyn Carney. So this is the flag up to Mexico. This flag here is to Guyana, South America, David and Kelly Owens. So another country in South America. This flag here is to Senegal, West Africa, Patrick and Jody Russell. And so that's the flag of their country. This is the flag to the great state of Montana. Big sky country. And of course, we've got this hung here because we're supporting Derek and Rebecca Lowen, and they're going to be moving, by the way, in May to go to Montana. And then, Lord willing, the target date of starting the church would be the first week of October of this coming fall. And they thought they'd go ahead and start in October because at that time they only have 8 feet of snow in Montana in October. And later on they'll have the usual 20 or 25 feet of snow. So we'll be praying for them. This is the flag to the Philippines, Larry and Diane Stikeleather. And of course, they minister in the Philippines, but very specifically through Rock of Ages to the prisons in the Philippines, which is really pretty unique. This flag here is the flag to Australia, right? This is the Australian flag. And we have, let's see here. All right, we've got Andrew and Laura Steers. And by the way, the Steers used to be in New Zealand. They've just recently relocated to Australia. And so I think we need to make sure that you all know that, but they're doing a good job starting a new work there. Bernard and Helen Hong and Dan and Sandy DeLong. We've actually got three missionaries now to the continent of Australia. And then we have here the flag to Brazil, South America, Brian and Rebecca Johnson, Ed and Maribel Johnson, Ed and Jean Cook, and Vladimir and Rosa Silveira. So we have several missionaries, four missionaries to the country of Brazil. But if you'll ever look at the country of Brazil, if you want to just look on the map back there and imagine the country of Brazil sitting on top of the United States of America, trust me, folks, four missionaries in that large of an area, there is a lot of people to reach in Brazil, South America. This flag here is the flag of China. Ken and Nancy Lawman are in China. And of course, most missionaries to China cannot declare that they're there to be missionaries. They go on a visa because they are qualified and allowed to be teachers there. And some go under the umbrella of being medical, doctors, nurses. But if they put on their visa request that they want to come and be a missionary, they never let them in. The unique ways that they have to minister and get the gospel in China, they're under constant surveillance. They've got to be very careful. They can be deported at any time. And so read their letters. It's fascinating. And they've been there a long time and done a great job. This is the flag to Virginia. Of course, the Schwenkies just started the church in Virginia this past year and are doing a great job. And so we're supporting a church planting effort in Montana and also in the state of Virginia. This is the flag of Kentucky. And we do two things in Kentucky. We support Brother Smith, Dave Smith and his wife, that runs the Circle C camp down there. Also, some of you may or may not think about this, but Brother Gail Russ, that we support through our radio broadcast and our radio ministry, not only does he have a station in Evansville that reaches into Kentucky, but he's also got another station in Kentucky. He actually has two radio stations, and so some of the money that you put in missions is going to support a Christian camp in Kentucky, and also the radio station there in Kentucky, helping to get the gospel out. This flag here is the flag of Thailand, Tommy and Joanne Tillman. And so this is, of course, the missionary I was mentioning to you. Brother Tillman is a man that has just a unique man. He's also into Mongolia, by the way, now, starting some churches there and building some hospitals and preaching the gospel, and just a remarkable man. I want you to get the story of his life. That flag right back there is the flag of Florida, and we support Brother Unger in Florida and appreciate, of course, so much what he's doing there. And then, am I wrong? Does the CLA also stationed in Florida? Okay, the CLA also is in Florida, so those two ministries there. Be careful trying to look back at this one. There's probably a glare on this. That's better. The Azores, Azore Islands, and this, of course, is Kevin and Amy Arthur to the Azore Islands, and this is their flag. Isn't that a beautiful flag? Excuse me while I step out. Hello? This is the flag to Haiti and the Fitzsimmons that are down in Haiti. This is the Haitian flag. Again, a lot of the flags are very colorful, beautiful, especially those that are in the Caribbean. This is the French Polynesian Islands, Terry and Tammy Morse, who's just now relocating. By the way, read their letter. Unbelievable. They, you know how in Africa you have to, sometimes they request and need to have a plane to be able to fly to the different villages because they're in the bush. This man actually needed to buy a boat and did so because he's in the Polynesian Islands, and there's so many of them that instead of running buses, he's running a boat. Now, he uses this boat to go to the different villages and preach the gospel. It's really something else. This is Japan, and of course, we have supported John and Patty Himes in Japan for years and years and years. And Brother Himes, I was talking to somebody about him the other day, and I said, I hope he has another furlough soon and wants to use our mission house. Last time he was on furlough, he was there for several months. Boy, what a blessing to have him. Vanuatu, Michelle Bass. Unique story, unique ministry there. Most of you are very familiar with Michelle. We support the Lawrences that are, of course, involved in Jewish missions and that. Then, of course, on the back of this one, there's several because we support a lot of missionary efforts within our own country here. Most of these are going to be identified by the individual state flags. But let me just give you a rundown. The director of BIMI, the director for Africa, is still in the States here, Ron and Donna Bragg, also Bearing Precious Seed, Christian Law Association, the Hodges with Beta, Lawrence's with the Jewish people, the Smiths I mentioned with Circle C Baptist Ranch, Evangelist Tom Williams, Evangelist Bob Hamlin, Dr. Fred Schindler with First Bibles, Tyler Ryberg, which I'll mention in a minute, with our Worldwide Military Baptist Missions, and then let's see, the DFL Pantonios with Church Planting, Evangelist and Paul and Mickey Henry with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry down in Texas, and then our own brother Brian Sluter with Sword and Trowel Baptist Missions. And so there's a lot going on that we support right here, and I think that that's as it ought to be. In the state of Indiana, we support several things that are going on here. Brother Gail Russ with WGAB down in Evansville, Christian Radio Advance America, and of course Hesba House doing great works here. And then this is the flag of the Dominican Republic. And our own Luke Townsley that grew up in this church. His parents attend this church, him and Hannah. And then also Jim and Christine Payne, who's on deputation on their way to the Dominican Republic. And so we also, instead of trying to make a decision on what to hang in honor of Brother Ryberg, instead of all five branches of the military, we just chose the POWMIA. But this is to remind us of Worldwide Military Baptist Missions. Colonel Tyler Ryberg is doing an unbelievable job at ministering to all, and in many ways to the military, but specifically to those in combat areas, getting the packets out, getting the helps out, helping men and supporting men in their starting Bible studies. I mean, folks, if you read the letters, you'll be blessed. On any given day in Afghanistan and Iraq, there are scores of Bible studies going on, conducted by men, that Brother Ryberg not only has trained to do that, but supplies materials to do that. That's happening every single day over there. I think that's incredible. And then this is the flag of Ireland. I kind of goofed up here. I ordered the flag to Ireland. Brother Bissett is actually in Northern Ireland. I didn't realize there's a Northern Ireland flag. And so we're going to reorder that when we reorder the Belize. But this is the Bissett's in Ireland. And then this last one here is... Oh, I shouldn't have taken my glasses off. Mongolia. Mongolia with Jason and Becky Mueller, who, by the way, will be with us later on this month. So as you go around, young people, I'd like you to look at those. Feel free to look at them. And if you want to see what flag belongs to who and what missionary, you can lift the corner up and take a look at it, and I'd like you to become familiar with them. Also, did you see the new interactive computer game in the back? And I want you to feel free to use that. I mean that. I've kind of shot a warning over the heads of the kids. And parents, please talk to your kids about this, okay? We're not against the children using it if they're going to use it. And if they want to use it to get to know our missionaries, that's fine with me. But if they're just going to stand back there and punch buttons and mess around with it, then ushers, don't feel free to holler at them. I'll feel free to holler at them, and I'll holler at any parent that doesn't like it. But it would be best, parents, if you just took care of it for us, all right? And that'd be the best thing. Now, I want you to use that. That's an amazing thing. And go back there, familiarize yourself with them. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get you to know your missionaries. We want you to know their names. We want you to know them by faces. We want you to be familiar. And we will be expanding. Some of those have quite a bit of information. Some of them have less. We're going to be adding as we go along and as we acquire more information material. And what an exciting thing to be a part of. Are you looking at this? I mean, folks, we're surrounded by flags that represent countries all across the world. And different states within our own United States that we're allowed to have an impact in. And we praise the Lord for that. Is it enough? No. Should we do more? Always. Are you thankful, Pastor, about what we are doing? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not only thankful, I'm thrilled. So I'm going to turn this handheld one off here, switch back, and I'm just going to take a few minutes. I'm not going to preach a long time. I want to get one main thought to you tonight. I want you to get you thinking. Here we are. The beginning of World Vision Month. What's a good way to start this out? Well, the dear brother did a great job for us this morning. I'm trying to decide when we take him on, and I think we ought to, don't you? When we take him on, I think what we probably... The only problem is I don't know what the Amish flag is. And so if you guys could work on that for me, maybe come up with some suggestions on that, you know, with a horse and buggy, yeah. We'll make an Amish flag, you know, and... They were so thankful, and they wanted me to express this. I was at the back, and some of the Sunday school kids had, there was a bunch of stacks of pictures of a horse and buggy that kids had colored and wrote a little note to the missionary, one of the Sunday school class. I've asked every single person in every ministry, I don't want this to be World Missions Month, World Vision Month in the auditorium, and it not be in any other place in the church. I want February, I want this to be the thing that is taught and emphasized in Master's Club, in Sunday school, in our junior churches. Folks, we want this to go all through the church. Thank you. Some of you ladies were kind and went out of your way to write Mrs. Coblitz a letter, and I appreciate that, and a note, and so many little things that we need to do and we ought to do. I want you to get to know our missionaries. I want you to love them. I want you to care about them. I gave our senior saints something the other day. We got we put on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and then we went ahead and, what do you call it? Laminated it. And it's got a picture of every single one of the missionary children that we have. And then we realized we left some off. Plus, we're going to be adding some, so we're going to give you an updated one. But we forgot left one family off. And I told them, I said, if anybody else sees this and they want one, tell them you have to be 55. You're not 55, you don't get one. It's just, that's the breaks. There's got to be a few perks of getting old, you know. You get your senior discount at McDonald's and you get your missionary kids prayer thing. But I guarantee you, if I can get our senior saints on a daily basis praying for these kids are going to be okay. I believe that. I think we've got some folks around here that know how to get a hold of God. And they'll do it. But I want them to do that. I want you to know. In our Sunday school classrooms right now, in every Sunday school classroom, whatever age class that is, there is a picture of the same age children that are on the mission field. And I want them to feel like they're a part of their class. We've got students that are writing letters, and the teachers are seeing that those letters get sent to them. What are you doing, Brother John? I want to make it real. If we're not careful, it's just a bunch of piece of papers hanging in a hallway. But these are real folks. You know, I think it's helped our church that Luke and Hannah Townsend's out of our church. All of a sudden, for our church for the first time, it's like, wow, these are real people. Yeah, they grew up somewhere. They got parents that they left. They've got dreams that they had, and God changed in their dreams, and they're fine with that. They're excited about it. We got to see Lacey marry Dave Peach and head off to Africa. And all of a sudden, it's real, isn't it? It's real stuff. And we're going to say in just a few months goodbye to one of, I just think, a choice couple that God's prepared. I've said this, the selfish part of me wants to keep them here, and the right with God part of me knows they need to go. But there's a town in Montana that doesn't have a gospel voice that needs this couple to go. Now, folks and young people, listen to me. I really believe that God wants to, in the next 10, 15, 20 years, use Blessed Hope Baptist Church as never before to be a sending church. Sending, I mean that. Now, not everybody's going to go, and if y'all go, we'll have to close the place down. You know, last guy out, turn off the lights. God's not going to send everybody, but God's going to send some. God's going to send some. And you ought to be open to it, whether it's somewhere in another part of the country, somewhere in another part of the world, somewhere God's got something to be done. And I'm not elevating us, because you know what? Without Jesus Christ, there's none of us that's anything. But if churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not sending out people, then where are they going to be sent from? There has to be. Oh, Brother Jerry, let the big churches. No, well, let me just tell you this, folks. The vast majority of missionaries don't come from big churches. The vast majority of missionaries, the vast majority. That may sound like a big deal because a certain church is big and they send a group, but compare that to all of the missionaries from all the little churches in America, and they're not even a drop in the bucket. It's little churches and God coming in the midst and touching hearts. And sometimes, as we're going to talk about just for a few minutes tonight, God sets before somebody an open door. He just sets somebody before somebody an open door. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about that. Open doors. Open doors. Revelation chapter 3. By the way, Brother Coblitz mentioned that this morning when he preached. He said, you know what? We've been praying and making ourselves available for all these years, and God opened a door. God opened a door. Let me tell you a little bit about my God. He's a God that opens doors. He opens doors. The Bible says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Now notice what he said. He said, well, that's, Brother Jerry, that's great for big, strong church. Wait a minute. He set before them an open door, and let me tell you what he says about them. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Can I say this? You don't have to be super duper Christian. You just got to have a heart for God. If you got a little strength, and you're willing to stand for the word of God, and you're sincere, you'd be shocked what God might just kick open right in front of you and let you do. In my life, and I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, but in my life, I've been amazed at what God's let this little country boy do. And the doors that God's opened to let me walk through in my life. And you know what? I hope he's not done. Because I like walking through open doors. Now, folks, sometimes I want to walk through a door that's not open. Let me say this. If God shut it, you can bang your head against it all day. But you know what? Until God opens it, it's not going to open. But on the flip side, let me give you this good news. If God opens it, there's nobody in the world that can shut that door. Nobody can shut that door. And so in my Christian experience, I've had to learn a little patience. Sometimes I have to pray for a while. Knock and it shall be. Sometimes I have to knock for a while. Sometimes I have to knock for a long time. There's things that I dreamed and prayed for years before God opened a door and let me walk through it. There's doors that still are shut tight that I'm praying and asking God to someday open so that we can walk through it. And let me just give you a few things to think about. Listen, this isn't so much a sermon as it's a seed thought. This is the kind of thing that I hope you'll take this verse and this concept, and I hope you'll just walk out of here, and I hope you just let the Holy Spirit teach you and prod you with it and challenge you with it all week long and all month long. But what about an open door? Man, it's exciting when God opens a door. Let me just say this, folks. Let me define what an open door is. What are they talking about here, Brother Jerry, when they say that, when God is talking about an open door? An open door is a divine opportunity for evangelistic work. An open door is a divine opportunity for evangelistic work. Let me show you that that's true. And by the way, hold your place in Revelation 3, but let's quickly go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. By the way, are you knocking? Do you even recognize the doors that are shut? Do you care about doors that are shut? Is anybody knocking? Is anybody in this church knocking on a door that's not open yet? God's preparing some people in this church. I'm telling you, that's true. I've got some men. I mean, I'm talking about 6 or 8 young men that have come to me at different times. Said, Brother Jerry, God just eat me alive. And you say, well, what's he doing in their life? I don't know. Is it for here? Maybe. Is it for somewhere else? Maybe. But you know what's bothering them? There's a door shut that they want to see open. And they may not even know what's on the other side. But they just want to see God open a door. And he's getting them ready. By the way, sometimes you have to knock a while. You know why? Because maybe you're not even ready to walk through that door. You think God's being selfish or God's being wrong for not opening that door, but if he did, you wouldn't have the strength to walk through it anyway. You're not ready to walk through that door. But thank God that you want to. And I'm glad you're knocking. And you know what? God will open it when he's ready to open it. And you know what? When he opens it, you'll be ready to walk through it. Isn't that good? Brother, I'm knocking on doors that I don't even know what's on the other side. All I know is somebody needs to do something. And I've said to God, I said, I'm so busy sometimes, I meet myself coming and going, but God, if nobody else is going to do it, let me do it. Let me find a way to do one more thing. There's so many people that need to be reached. There's so many souls out there. There's so many people, groups, even in our own Jerusalem, that we haven't even touched yet. Now, I'm going to keep knocking on those doors. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul knew what Jesus was talking about. You say, what is an open door? And an open door is a divine opportunity for evangelistic work. Look at verse number 12, 2 Corinthians 2:12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Notice that it was the Lord that opened that door. And you know why he opened it? Because there was somebody that wanted to preach the gospel. It was a divine opportunity to reach a community or an area or a people group or maybe just an individual with the gospel of Jesus Christ. An open door is a divine opportunity for evangelistic work. Go to Colossians now, chapter number 4. Let's read there. Colossians chapter number 4. Let's solidify this, make sure we have this right, that the Bible's defining this. We're making sure we understand it. But he said, boy, I wanted to preach the gospel, and the Lord opened the door and let me do it. A divine opportunity for evangelistic work. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Colossians 4, 3. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. This is amazing. Paul's writing from prison and asking God to open the door. Say, what's he asking? God to open the door of the prison? No, asking God to open the door of evangelistic opportunity even while he's in prison. He wasn't worried about whether or not he was in prison or not. He was working. You know what, folks, listen. I think when Paul had this ability to walk in and just see closed doors. So Paul's out there planting churches, and you know what? He gets one started, then he gets stoned and run out of town. He says, praise God, I'll just go find another open door. He goes to another town, starts knocking. God's opening a door. Man, a bunch of people get saved. Praise God! Then they run him out of that town. They do that several times. Finally, he gets messing around. And next thing you know, he gets arrested and they get thrown in jail. And You know what Paul says? Praise God! I've been wondering how I was going to reach these prisoners. Now, not me and you. We'd be pouting and crying. You know why? Because we don't have everything we want. We don't. Things aren't always going our way, and God's unfair. No, no, no. What you've got to start understanding is if God's put you somewhere or God's taken you through something, it's because maybe there's a door He's thrown open. Listen, listen. We've got to start understanding that everything we go through in life is preparing us to walk through some open door. There's people that you'll meet sometimes when you're going through a valley that you never would have met them if everything had been going on topside. And God's trying to open a door for you. An open door is a divine opportunity for evangelistic work. Now, let me have you go back to Revelation chapter 3 real quick, and let me give you a couple thoughts. I want to give you this first thought. If you will, notice verse number 8. An open door can be ignored or it can be embraced. Notice what Jesus said to this church. By the way, God often opens such a door of opportunity for a church. Now, sometimes on an individual level, there's parts of my life where God individually allows me to walk through open doors. But sometimes God sets before a church an open door. Notice what He said here. He said, I know thy works in verse 8. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Did you get that? God didn't say, I opened the door and dragged you through it. Oh, opened the door and pushed you through it. You know what He said? He said, I just opened it and it's there. And I mean this with all my heart. I wonder, when we stand before God one of these days, there's going to be churches just like Blessed Hope Baptist Church all across the world that God gave unique open door opportunities, and we've got to decide, do we have the faith to walk through it? Do we have the faith to walk through it? Well, that's exciting. Say, Brother Jerry, why? Now, you've got to understand this. I'm standing at the door yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning in Lucas Oil Field, which I'm so glad they had it there because I've been dying to go in there and see that new stadium. I told somebody the other day, I got to find something that they're doing there because I just want to go see the stadium. So I'm standing, think about this, in this incredibly large building that has taken over the entire skyline of Indianapolis. And I'm standing in front of this door as a gospel preacher with my church name clearly identified on my shirt, meeting families and the soldiers and soldiers as they're walking through the door and shaking their hands and putting in their hands the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a little group of us went up there and did that for a couple, 3 hours and passed probably close, we keep saying 3,500, probably close to 4,000 copies of Grace Will Lead Me Home. You know why? Because Brother Hal just kept knocking at a door that was closed until it opened. He calls me up and says, Brother Jerry, this is going to work. I think we got this chance. I said, let's go. You know what happened? Boom, it's open. Let's go. Let's go. But can I share this with you folks? It may not be an opportunity for us to reach out to 3,500 or 4,000 people in a couple hours. It might just be that one person that lives on your street, that one person that you might win, who then wins 4,000 people to the Lord. You don't know who you're witnessing to. You don't know what God's going to do with the person that you might win to Christ. Now, hey, bus worker, you don't know what that little boy or little girl might grow up and do for God. If God's given you an open door, walk through it. Walk, don't stare at it. Man, it finally opened. Go through it. Do something with it. We're going to get to heaven, and I think we're going to see Lost opportunity. God blew something open, and we sat around and fiddled around. And you know what? We didn't have the faith, and we made the excuses, and we don't have the time. We don't have the finances, and maybe someone else ought to do that. And Pastor, we can't do everything. Well, do something. Do something. There's open doors. 27 people come to our chapel ministry. What happened last June? By the way, nobody knows this. They don't have to know this. For 15 years, I've driven to the east side of this county. And I've driven on streets and I've driven on highways. And I said, God, this is outside of our Jerusalem. Brother Jim Swaby was over there. I got on the phone and begged him, drove him crazy till he let me bring teenagers over there. And we took his tracks and visited for his church. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to see God do something. I wanted to see a church established over there. Brother Brian got over there, and Brother Brian did a good job over there. Man, we got behind it financially, and we've sent manpower. We knocked doors, and we tried to be an encouragement to him. And you know what? God changed his direction. And all of a sudden, after 15 years, it's like God said, okay, son, you've been knocking. Here it is. And he just kind of went, boom, and just kicked the door open. And it's taken me about 6 months to figure out how to get through it. But I'm going to tell you something. I sat down the end of December and I said, God, and God was pressing my spirit. And God came to me and he said, you know, I know you're on a learning curve and I know that you've had to learn, but son, I didn't give you that for you to maintain it. I give it to you because there is an evangelistic work that needs to be done. And I sat down in my office and spent about 6 straight hours doing nothing but praying and writing things and planning. And we've got a great aggressive plan for the Bloomfield area. Listen, you just keep your eye on what God's going to do over there. And buddy, it's just not my heart that's being stirred. There's several people in this church. And it's okay if it's not everybody, because you know what? Not everybody can do everything. But you know what? When God gives an open door, I think God also touches some people's heart and says, let's go do something over there. And what an exciting report from tonight. What I'm saying is this. Operation Think of It's an open door. The chapel ministry is an open door. But folks, your bus route's an open door. So let me give you this other thought here. Listen, don't forget this. An open door usually has a time limit on it. I'll tell you that's true. Children of Israel wandered through the wilderness towards the promised land. God kicked open the door to Canaan land and says, go. You know what they said? No. And you know what God said? Okay. Boom. Shut the door. You know what they said then? Yes. You know what God said? There's countries. You know, I want to tell you something. America. And I'm not mad at our teenagers, because it's not our teenagers. It's my age and younger. When the USSR dissolved, God kicked the door open into countries that we only dreamed and prayed to go to. But you know what? When the door went open, very few went. By the way, you keep an eye on that situation. There's already doors slamming shut. For a few years, they were open. And you know what? I don't believe for 1 second God opened a door and didn't challenge some people to walk through it. But you know what? We got a bunch of selfish, materialistic Americans that don't want to leave mommy and daddy. More excited about getting a new vehicle than they are winning a soul to Christ. And you know what? They won't even entertain the idea. They won't even stand to entertain the idea that God might send them somewhere around the world to do something like that. It wasn't everybody. Thank God there was a small army that went, but very few stayed. I'm telling you the truth. And there's countries that in your lifetime, some of you have watched in your lifetime, God opened a door. We had a chance for a missionary effort. It was for a limited time. The door shut. That's it. What I'm saying is this. If God opens a door, folks, it's time to go. It's time to go. The praying part was to get the door open. I'm not saying we stop praying, but move while you're praying. Walk while you're praying. Do while you're praying. It's time. It's time. It's time. Okay? An open door usually has a time limit on it. Now, Brother Derek, we sat down and we figured this thing out, you know. He set a goal for how much money he wants to raise while in deputation. Something like $100,000 a month. I can't remember exactly what he thought it would take to keep Rebecca happy, but it was somewhere up in there. And we did. We set a goal. But you know what he told me? He came into my office and he said, Brother Jerry, I know need to raise some money, but he said, I got to go in May. I got to go in May. I understand that. You know, I'm going to tell him, I'm going to say, you know what, whatever God brings in by then, go with it. And I have this funny feeling he'll just provide whatever else you need once you get there. I don't know how much longer. Who's there that won't be there 2 years from now? Who's alive that won't be alive 2 years from now? I mean, listen, I'm not saying be unreasonable. I'm not saying for missionaries not to finish their deputation, especially going to the foreign field. I'm just saying at some point, folks, go! Get it! Do it! Who knows how long that door will be open? So God opens a door, and sometimes it has a limit on it. I'm going to take you to something exciting. I want you to see something. By the way, don't forget this. If God opens it, there's not one human being that has the strength or the power to shut that door. God opened a door here in Jasonville, Indiana back in 1973. He did. Brother Charles, he opened a door wide open to a little group of people and said, reach this community for Jesus Christ. And you don't think that there hasn't been human entities that have tried to raise themselves up and shut that door? But you know what? No man can shut what God's opened. Just like no man can open what God's shut. We better understand we're blessed. If you're a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're a member in a blessed time. The door's wide open. The church is hitting on all cylinders. I don't know what you're waiting for. Let's go through it. Let's get involved. Let's do something. Because there may be 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you may see the day that the door slams shut for this county and this community. And you know what? It's too late to back up and do anything then. Let me have you go to 1 Corinthians. Did I tell you that? Chapter 16. I don't know where that door is. I don't know what it is in your life. But is there something? There's somebody? There's something that you're knocking on? There's something you're praying about? You say, Brother Jerry, I don't even know what it is. Well, man, just knock. Just knock. Just ask God. Do something with my life, Lord. There's a reason you wake me up at night. There's a reason I pace the floor. There's a reason there's a fire burning in my heart. I don't even know what it is, but all I know is, God, do whatever you have to do to get me ready, and in your time, just open the door and I'll go through it. Man, what an exciting way to live. Now let me finish up with this, and we're done. 1 Corinthians 16:9. Get this. Paul said this. What a statement. Paul said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. Occasionally, folks, God opens a great and powerful door. And that word effectual just means powerful, explosive, unbelievable. Great means, comes from the Greek word magnus, which means huge, big. Well, I'm going to tell you, there's a handful of times in your life, now there's a lot of times God opens little doors and we have little impact, but every once in a while God just opens a big door and lets you see something unbelievable happen. And I think we're going to see some of those doors open in 2009. I think that God's preparing a group of people that's ready to walk through some doors. I just kind of feel that way. And you know, well, it doesn't seem like a very big thing. You know what? A nursing home that's not been gotten into to this point, that doesn't have a gospel voice, is a closed door that you might knock on and God might open and you might be used to win souls in that nursing home. That is not a little thing. That's not a little thing. That's big time stuff. There may be a community that, you know what, for whatever reason, we've just never run a bus into, but you know what? People are born there, live and die. And there's no gospel outreach. And nobody's going to pick up a little child over there. And somebody's going to start knocking. Somebody's going to get burdened. Somebody's going to say, you know what, more can be done. You don't have to be on the other side of the world, but if it is, go through that door. I want to give you this last thought. Occasionally, God opens a great and powerful door. Don't forget this. The greater the open door, the more numerous the adversaries. And that's what it says here. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. I've watched. Now, I've been doing this a little bit of time. I've watched God open great and effectual doors to people. And about the time they start walking through it, I've watched the devil unleash the power of hell on that person and their family. I've watched it. Can I say this? I've experienced it. And not just one or two or three times in my life. It seems like every time that God finally opened a door and it looked like we were going to be able to go through and do something, man, look out. You think the devil's going to sit still? Listen, I'm telling you right now. Folks, listen, I'm not just concerned about Eastern Greene County. You know that I've got a larger burden for where we're at than there. But I've got a burden for there too. And I'm telling you right now, that's a satanic stronghold over there. You talk to Brother Brian. You talk to Jim Swaby. You talk to men that have gone over there. You don't think that there's not a spiritual war going on right now for the souls on the eastern part of Greene County? Oh, I think I want to be a part of that. Sounds like fun. You better bring your armor, bud. If you show up without your arm, if you show up in your carnality, if you show up in the power of the flesh, you're going to be mincemeat for the devil. This isn't some kind of game we're in. You better take it serious. You better know what you're doing. You better know what you're signing up for. Brother Jerry, I want to walk through that door. Get your life clean. Brother Jerry, God's doing something in my heart and I want to do something. Preacher, I want to do something. Get your life clean. It's time to stop dabbling in some sin that you've been dabbling in for a while. It's time to get on board. It's time to clean your life up. It's time to get confessed up. It's time to get on your face and realize that God, who is a holy God, expects us to live holy lives. It's time to stop gossiping. It's time to stop visiting certain internet sites. It's time to stop watching certain TV programs. I'm just telling you, if you think this is a game, you don't think the devil's waiting on the other side of that door. Along with the opportunity, the devil's standing there. And you know what? He's going to fight you tooth and nail to try to see that you don't accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. Good. Here we are, just the closing days of January, and already we've gotten to see some doors thrown open that we didn't even know to even think about. I wish I could tell you, and I said this the other day, and I hope I didn't discourage some of you. And I don't want you to think your preacher don't have a plan. I do, but there's enough flexibility in that plan to allow God to do some things. I don't even know what God's going to do this year. In all areas, I don't even know. I mean, we're going a general direction, and we're trying to accomplish a certain number of things. But man, I want to be organized enough to have a plan and disorganized enough to let God get in the middle of it and change it if He wants to. I mean, what an exciting way to live. I'm glad I'm part of a church that's moving forward. And where are you going? Well, we're just kind of waiting for the next door to open. But buddy, when it does, we're going through it. Amen. We're going through it. We're going to start a young adult class. I've been wanting to do that. Most of you that weren't in our young adult class 3.5 years ago when Pastor Ross announced that he was going to step aside and I stepped into the pastorate. One of the questions I got bombarded with my young adult class was, you're not going to close down our young adult class. You're not going to close down our young adult class. Man, I didn't want to do it. And I told Dad, I said, would you just keep teaching the auditorium class? Nope. And I thought, boy, I'll tell you what, he's not only retiring, he's getting lazy. No, you know what he was doing? He was using the God wisdom that man has built a lifetime accumulating. You know what he was saying? He was saying, son, you need to pull everybody together and you need to be their preacher. And I need to step aside for a while. And you don't think he didn't want to keep that class, but he had enough sense to know that the church needed to sit underneath the pastor for a while, the new pastor. I kept thinking, you know what? One of these days, though, listen, folks, if you don't understand that is a people group, young adults are a people group that aren't being reached for the most part in this community. That's the honest truth. And you go to the average, even independent Fundamental Baptist Church, and you've got a great group, and thank God for them, but they're aging congregations. And there's a bunch of young couples that need to be reached for Christ. You know what God's going to do this year? You know what he's going to do the first Sunday in March? He's going to say, okay, preacher, you've been praying about this. By the way, I've been preparing the hearts of some of the young couples, some of the young people in this church. I'm not talking about teens. I'm talking about young adults. And you know what? Let's get them down there and let's organize them and let's excite them and let's ignite them and let's see what happens. And God's opening another door for us. Isn't that exciting? Man, I hope we have to turn the entire, from the foyer that way, I hope it has to become one big nursery. I hope we have so many young couples with so many new babies that, you know what? If they wanted to, the babies could get mad, leave the church, and have enough people to organize their own church and just take off without us, you know. And I'll bet you anything, Max will pastor it. You watch it. It'll be Max. He'll be the ringleader right there. That little rat will be the one that splits my church and takes a bunch of kids out and starts a new church. You watch that kid. You got to watch him. He seems like a nice kid, but I don't know. Think about who his daddy is. You got to watch a guy like that, you know. Wouldn't that be neat? Wouldn't that be neat? Hey, Brother Jerry, how does it happen? It just happens when God opens a door and you walk through it. Brother Jerry, I'm not starting a new young adult class. Do you know a young adult? Would you ask God to give you an open door into their life? Would you ask God to let you be the one that brings them to church and gets them involved? I don't even know where I'm going tonight, so I'm going to quit. But I'm telling you this, folks, be listening for the creaking of the hinges. And there's some doors that he's going to open in your life that I'm not even going to see. Because you know what? That door's not for me. That door's for you. And there's going to be some doors that's open for this church that I am going to say, and I'm going to come to the pulpit and give a rally cry. Let me tell you something, folks. Let's work and act as a church body when those opportunities come. Amen. Man, let's go do something. Yes, sir. Amen. And let's see what the Lord allows us to do in 2009. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for everything that you have blessed us with here. We're really kind of spoiled. And God, the problem with receiving so many blessings and being so blessed is sometimes, Lord, spoiled kids don't act right. And Lord, don't let us be that way. Help us to be grateful for everything that you allow us to have and experience and do here. And God, keep us hungry. I don't know what's going on, Lord. I don't. Your thoughts are so far above my thoughts. Your ways so far above my ways. I don't know what's going on sometimes, God, but I can feel when you're moving. I know some things are going on. And God, I can't predict and I can't see. And somebody would have told me a year ago that we'd have handed to us a church plant on the eastern side of the county, I'd have laughed. Somebody would have told me 3 weeks ago that I was going to get to take a small group of people up and shake hands with 3,500, 4,000 soldiers, I don't know if I would have believed it. I don't know what's next. But Lord, I think that there's some doors that this preacher and some other people in this church, we've been knocking on, we've been praying. And God, you've been wise not to open some things, maybe because we're not ready for it. I pray, God, we wouldn't be the cause of something being held back just because of our immaturity or unwillingness or lack of dedication. But God, grow us and expand us and mature us and get us ready. And Lord, that has to happen in the church one person at a time. Right now, I finished preaching, and for many people in this congregation, Lord, I know without a doubt there's a fire burning in their heart. For others, Lord, they've just sat through another message, and they've remained untouched. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd break through that and stir something. And don't let them be satisfied with being saved and settled. Lord, get them hungry. Help them to lift up their eyes. Help them to realize God wants to use them to do something. God wants to use them, not the person in front of them, behind them, to either side of them. God wants to use them to do something for you. Help them to begin to seek you. Get before your face and say, God, you didn't put me on this planet and give me breath and life and salvation so I could sit and do nothing. God, do something in my heart. Do something in my life. And Lord, if the way I'm living is holding anything back, God, help me to be willing to sacrifice and change whatever needs to be changed so that I can see some doors opened and by faith walk through those doors and experience the victorious Christian life and see people saved. God, please, Lord, do something in our hearts tonight.